Good morning, everybody. I started writing this on Monday, and I know the pastor was scheduled to speak, but I wanted to say something to you before I left. So please enjoy it, and hope it's a blessing to everyone. It's called Union with the Father, and it starts with Revelation 21, 2 through 5, and I use this Christogenia Network New Testament for it. And I saw a new holy city, Jerusalem, descending from out of heaven, from Yahweh, having been prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from out of the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And Yahweh himself shall be with them, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall not be hereafter, nor grief, nor crying, nor toil. It shall be no more longer. The former things have departed." And he sitting upon the throne said, "Behold, I shall make all things new." We know we have a goal, and we know what it is. We know the mark set before us. It is our prayer that this time would come and come quickly. Philippians 3:14 through 16 says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. However, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing. In the meantime, we must stay diligent and like-minded in our walk with the Father and our brothers." There is only one place that man is expected to arrive at the end of this age of which we envision. It is that divine place where we were supposed to be in the beginning, where our Father reigns. Genesis 3:8-9 says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" We are supposed to be at the feet of God. It was in fellowship of our Heavenly Father. And that place can only be arrived by our humble acceptance of His love for us. 1 Peter 5:6, "Therefore be humble under the almighty hand of Yahweh, in order that you would be exalted in due season." There is no place for self-regard or guilt. There is no place for self-righteousness at that place. There is no place for judgmental condemnation of another man there. There is absolutely no room for any real ill regard for your brother. James 4:1-12 is a long scripture here. "From where are battles, and from where are there fights from among you? Is it not from this, from your pleasures, making the war against your members? You desire, and you have not. You murder and strive, and are not able to succeed. You fight and battle. You do not have, for reason that you do not request. And you request and do not receive, for reason that you request evil." in order that you may be consumed in your pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that love of society is hatred for Yahweh? He therefore who would desire to be a friend of society establishes himself as an enemy of Yahweh. Or do you suppose that vainly, the scripture says, with envy yearns the spirit which dwells within us? For more greatly he gives favor, on which account it says, Yahweh opposes the arrogant, but he gives favor to the humble. Therefore subject yourselves to Yahweh, but stand against the false accuser, and he shall flee from you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded. Endure hardship and lament and weep. Your laughter must turn into grief and your joy into sorrow. Humble yourself before the prince, and he shall exalt you. Do not slander one another, brethren. He slandering a brother slanders the law and condemns the law. If you condemn the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's only one lawgiver and judge. He is who is able to save and destroy. Now, where are you who is judging him near to you? When a man has arrived at that place of communion with the Father, he must be there only in complete humble submission of his spirit to the Father's Holy Spirit. When you are in communion with the Holy Spirit, you and you and you and me and you, all of us, are commonly before Father, individually in impurity of heart, and collectively together as the unified body of Christ. We have submitted all else to the Father by simply letting go of it. The past, the present, and the future. Everything. We, each of us, have to submit everything that is in us that is contrary to the will of the Father. And that includes any wandering thoughts that we may have. And we, each of us, have to joyfully receive and accept what the Father has already given. By releasing the snares of this social order, letting all of them go and not bringing them into remembrance, we come to the Father with a pure heart. We come to Him in simple submission and acceptance, our spirit to His spirit. But it is more than that. Yes, it's much, much more than that. We are here and have joined together before the Father in unity. That's where we are right now. We are His sheep, and He is our shepherd, and He will leave none behind. He did not create man to be a doleful follower. He created man to reign over and take care of His garden. He created man to think and reason for himself, and that is where we always get into trouble. Our primary reason for being is to commune with Him and fellowship one with another in the same perfection as we fellowship with the Father. Christ told us the way. He said, love the Lord with all your heart and regard your brother in the same perfect regard of which you think of yourselves. He said, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And sin. What is sin? Sin is walking out of step with the Father's divine plan for us. It is our walking out of perfect communal harmony with Him. And that is the place where the adversary, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, assumes his position and releases all of his lies and deceptions. Why does the deceiver think he has such power over us? Because he still thinks he possesses that power. But he does not. In truth, he is an old toothless wolf, still stalking about, seeking who he can destroy. All he is capable of doing is instilling fear in any of the Son of Man that do not believe and understand the truth yet. That is the Father's will, and that is to the Father's will and discretion. And our punishment continues. The Father ended Satan's self-declared reign of this world as he died on the cross, and he said, "It is finished." When he died and took all of our sin with him, it was finished. Lucifer's authority was over. He is still acting as the deceiver, but he is doing it without any power. The Father knows our stiff-necked ways, and he has given us special provision. And those things that are not in our harmonious walk with the Father are not even held against us anymore. He knows we do not sin. That's what I said. We do not sin. All of our transgression belong to the extortionist, the accuser of the brethren. Period. Soon, he will pay for what he has done against us, and he tries to make us feel guilty for sin and obligated to repayment. It's the same as money magic. We owe the liar nothing. He is an old toothless extortionist. However, that is not the focus of this message that I'm bringing to you today. Now I'm going to get back to task. There is no compromise in our walk with the Father. There is no division in the fellowship of man. I love each and every one of you who are of God. Oh, you don't think so? I speak truth. I love you in the love of the Lord. All of you. Now I will read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to put something in here. I started looking at this scripture because I was wanting to do communion with you before I leave. And so I went to the beginning of chapter, I read chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, and it starts with verse 17. And now taking this message, and this is Paul speaking, I do not commend you, because you gather not for the better, but for the worst. Indeed, in the first place of your gathering in the assembly, I hear of divisions rising among you. And in some degree, I believe it. But there must also be sects among you, in order that those approved will become evident among you, that you'll learn and gain from it and draw closer together. Paul is speaking of what became apparent to him in his association with the fellowship of Corinth. And what he saw were the divisions among those that were supposedly following the way. He was not trying to cause division. He was saying that the followers of the different groups need to adhere to their leaders in order to come together in spirit. And now continuing in verse 20, however, of your gathering into one place, it is not to eat the supper of the prince. Each beforehand brings his own supper there to eat. And while one hungers, then another is intoxicated. Now, do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you think contemptuously of the assembly of Yahweh, and disgrace those that have not? A thing that he was contemptuous about was how they were observing communion service. They were bringing their meals in whatever form they were individually accustomed to eat or drink, with no regard of any others who might not even have anything. Well, this is not in harmony with the communion. This chapter is an allegory of they who selfishly thought of themselves and their personal convictions, the necessary baggage we can be burdened by. Truth is truth. You know the truth because the Father has awakened you. That's why you're here, because He has awakened all of you. And that is the reason you're here. However, what you have come to believe and accept places you in a box, which limits your ability to grow in your big spirit to small spirit relationship with the Father. You should be growing together with your Holy Spirit in spirit relationship. All of the so-called Catholic and Judeo-Christian churches are caught in that very trap. They come together in body to fellowship, but what are the self-conceived and erroneous convictions that you come through that door right there with? Are you acting any differently? However, the very first thing I must address is those that say they are not Jews, but in truth are. We are among the fellowship of the covenant people. Matthew 22:8-14. This is the king speaking to his son's wedding feast. And when he says to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go along the outlets of the roads, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding feast. And those servants, having gone out into the roads, gathered all whom they found, both wicked and the good. And the wedding feast had been filled with those dining. Then the priest, upon entering to observe those dinings, saw there a man not clothed in a wedding garment. And he says to him, "Friend, how have you entered here, not having a wedding garment?" But he was silent. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him, his hands and feet, and cast him out into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Now, back to the unwantedness, unnecessary baggage that our brothers and sisters are holding on to. Let's list a few of them. Are there more? That is why you're here. You know your heart. Fellowship with false doctrines, or attempting to take things that are registered in the mind and fit them in with what you know in your heart. They that are not awake to the truth do not function in the spirit. They only operate in the mind. Call it mind over matter. All that can matter to them is what comes from their mind. Are you spending too much time in the world and its religions? We are not a religion here. Brother, we do go forward. We must not go backward. We are called to a purpose, and we are called to stay awake. Your understanding of names, words, and scriptures that interfere in your spiritual walk. "I just don't believe that," or "that's not the Lord's name." Again, don't think with your mind. Feel it in your spirit and come out of her, my people. That's this society. Come out of her, my people. Living in the past. Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Our life is not in past memories. Our life is in our divine future. It is in the joy of what lies ahead for us. Pride of life. Job 41:13-15. Who can discover the face of his garment? Or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible roundabout. His scales are his pride. Should not shut up together as with a closed seal. Pride is a wall that a person puts around himself that prevents any other brother from bonding with him. And no man is an island. You are not alone. Please don't be. That is out of harmony with our perfect union with the Father as the bride of Christ. Personal and family relationships. There's absolutely nothing wrong with family friendships and family ties. We are the fellowship of true Christians. And it is our responsibility to let our light shine in the darkness. Matthew 5:16. Thusly must you give your light before men, that they may see your good works, and they may honor your Father who is in heaven. However, it is necessary to stand fervently on the core of your knowledge. You are man. And I capitalize the word man. And this is not your world, this society. You and all your loved ones are here. None of you belong here. You are their light to lead into divine righteousness. Dealing with health and age. We all do a lot of that. Revelation 18:23 in the King James Version says, "And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorceries were all nations deceived." And then Revelation 18:23 in the Christogenia New Testament, "And the light of the lamp shall not shine in you hereafter, and the voice of the bride and the bridegroom shall not be heard in you hereafter, because your merchants were the great men of the earth, and because your pharmaceuticals have all the nations deceived." The only difference between those two scriptures is in the understanding of their translations. The words mean the same. The word sorceries comes from the Greek word, and from Strong's, it's pharmakia, G5331, and from G5332. Pharmakia is medication, pharmacy, and by extension, magic. Literally or figuratively, it's sorcery or witchcraft. And the word G5332 is pharmakias, from the word pharmakon, a drug, a spell-giving potion, a druggist, a pharmacist, or a poisoner. And by extension, a magician or sorcerer. There is a satanic course on the whole of society. And where is our father-to-son relationship? And where is our faith? Do we walk in faith or do we walk in fear? We cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve two masters, and the Father is a gentleman. And now continue with 1 Corinthians 11, 22, part 2 of that verse. And what should I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? I do not commend. For I have received from the prince that which I have also transmitted to you. And that Prince Yeshua, in the night in which he had been handed over, took wheat bread. And giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. This you do in remembrance of me." In like manner also the cup, along with dinner, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. This you do as often as you may drink in remembrance of me. Indeed, as often as you may eat this wheat bread and you may drink this cup, you declare the death of the prince until he should come. Consequently, whoever would eat the wheat bread or drink the cup of the prince unworthily will be liable of the body and the blood of the prince. But a man must scrutinize himself, and thus from of the wheat bread let him drink, and from the cup let him drink." Let him, you know what I mean. "For he that is eating and is drinking eats and drinks condemnation for himself, not distinguishing the body. For this reason, there are among you many feeble and sickly, and plenty have fallen asleep. If then we had made a distinction of ourselves, perhaps we would not be judged. But being judged by the prince, we are disciplined, in order that we would not be condemned with the society. Consequently, my brethren, gathering in to eat, you await one another. If anyone hungers, he must eat at home, in order that you would not gather for condemnation. And the other things, when I should come, I'll set in order." And that's what Paul said. Paul was speaking to the church of Corinth. He was not praising them in their union as a body of Christ. He was saying there were divisions in the assembly, which is to say they were believing different things. He also said they were corrupting the communion in symbology by eating to satisfy their bodies and not for the remembrance of the sacrifice that it represented. So now I'm trying to point out and instill in you is, whenever you eat together, and as often as you can, do so. Always in remembrance of our kinsman redeemer, how great his sacrifice was for us. Remembering, we worship him in spirit and in truth. Keeping your faith and knowledge at the forefront of your spirit life. And what is that truth? We are the seed of Abraham, and with his faith, we are the overcomers of this society. The continually deepening of your gratitude and commitment to the Father, and always intensifying strength of your relationships with your brothers and in your spirit to spirit relationship. Have communion with your brothers as often as possible. Eat what and where you desire, mutually and in communion with the Father, but always in contemplation and remembrance. That is what makes it communion with the Father and intensifies the spirit, the conviction in his each spirit in union of your holy purpose. In parting, I wish to share communion with you, and I wish to do so in the same manner as Christ did. But before we do, we must complete our meal. Remember, man doesn't live by bread alone. We have joined together before the Father in unity. That's why we're here. And we are His sheep. And He is our shepherd, and He will leave none of us behind. Our Father is waiting. He's watching. He knows and He sees us joining together, spirit to spirit. And that is the act He is waiting for. We, us, you, me, all of us are His children. Collectively, don't you see it? Can't you feel it? We are the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And that is all He's waiting for. And He's coming back. Stop looking at me or any other and judging according to your mind. Stop judging yourself according to your mind. We are deceived of the nations, or should I put it this way? We are the Abrahamic nations of the deceived. Let go of what you think and what you have been told. We are all thinking wrong. Hosea 4. 4 through 6. Everybody knows 4, 6 always, right? But we got to take in 4 with it. Now, let no man contend or rebuke another. For your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night. And I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected me. Because you have forgotten the law of God, I also will forget your children. And that's the curse we're under right now. Our way of thinking is wrong. Wrong, wrong. We are the remnant, and we are called to remembrance. And that does not say we know everything. Precept on precept. We build on what we think. We are thinking wrong. Right now, at this very moment, stop thinking in your mind and shut it down. Thinking with your mind is where we always get into trouble. Just stop it. You have to join with the brother beside you. Not with your mind, not, or what you think. Or what you think or feel. No. You must join with your brother, with your heart, and with your spirit. When? Right now. How? Close your eyes and stop thinking. Stop anything that could influence you. Just stop it. Shut it down. This world is not your friend. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols?" And we know what idols are. It's materialism. "For you are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in themselves. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And that's what we are. He's doing that with us now. He's walking with us. Meditate with the Father. You are together. But you feel you are alone. But you're not alone. The Father is with you. You are joining together His Spirit to your spirit. His Spirit to our spirits collectively. And this is not a religion. This is the body of Yeshua coming together in union. Now, out of the Old Testament, we got Ecclesiastes 4, 8 through 13. "There is none alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother. Yet there is no end to all his labors. Nor is his eye satisfied with riches, but he never asks, For whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and a grave misfortune. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will be admonished no more. We have already experienced our foolish kings. They are the whore of Babylon. The Father has called and awakened some of us, and we are the poor but wise youth. The threefold cord is each of us binding together with the Holy Spirit, and then binding together in brotherhood. And who is he that can sever our holy union? There is no one. And you are the body of Christ. Together we are the body of Christ. Our Father is not waiting for the world to wake up from a demonic spell. He's only waiting for you. Look within you, and you. I'm talking to everyone here, sitting here. You and you and you. You are the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And he will do the rest. From the smallest of seeds, a mustard tree will grow. Why a mustard seed? The seed of Abraham and Jacob, Israel, is now the Father's family tree. Go forward and to grow. Matthew 13, 32 and 31 and 32 says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed it in his field, which indeed is the least of seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And in Matthew 17:14 through 21 says, and upon coming to the crowd, a man approached him, falling on his knees, and saying, Prince, have mercy on my son, because he is an epileptic and has a malady. For many times he falls into the fire, and many times into the water. And I brought him to your students, but they were not able to heal him. And replying, Yeshua said, O faithless and perverted race, until when must I be with you? Until when must I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Yeshua admonished him, and a demon came out from him, and the child had been healed at that moment. Then the students, having approached Yeshua by themselves, said, for what reason have we not been able to cast it out? And he said to them, for reason of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you would have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here, and it shall be moved, and there is nothing impossible with you. Mark 4:30-32, he says, how should we liken the kingdom of Yahweh, or what parable may we place it? It is as a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown upon the earth, it is the greatest of all seeds of those upon the earth. And when it is sown, it becomes It comes up and becomes greater than all the vegetables and produces great branches. All of the birds of heaven will be able to rest and nest in its shadow. Individually, we're each but a small thing, and our faith is still growing. As we grow in faith together as the body of Christ, we are the tree of God on this earth. What is a mustard seed? It's an herb. Strong's Concordance calls it by the word sinope, and it is perhaps from the word sinomai, meaning to hurt and to sting. The mustard seed is bitter. We know what our reason on earth is. This is our purpose, and this is our calling. Now, I'm going to ask y'all to bow your heads and close your eyes and focus on your Father. Just meditate. He is here. Feel Him. He feels you. Meditate and commune with the Father. There is no time in the Father's world. It is not you and the Father. What is time? He is your Father. Let him hold you in his loving arms for a little while.